You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country. We got you next 3 hours, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, where you'll find their poll question, and it is about Klay, whether or not the Warriors should let him play tonight. I've got my two strongest opinions. Number one, I would not allow him to play. Mm-hmm. I would sit him. And I would take the option off the table because you know he's going to want to go.
Of course.
He's a gamer. He's a champ. That's opinion number one. And opinion number two, if the Raptors lose tonight, they have literally no shot. And I know people misuse the word literally. Yeah, yeah. I used it there on purpose.
Okay.
They literally have no shot.
Why?
To win.
Why?
They have to
they
win tonight.
They can't turn it around.
No.
I mean, it's on the road. It
doesn't
matter. Golden State Warriors.
No. But it's not the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, it's
the Golden State Warriors.
It's a shell of the...
minus Kevin Durant, still. And he's coming back, which is why I believe tonight's urgency is amplified for the Raptors. Looney's hurt. I think they tapped into something pretty interesting with this box and one they deployed in Game 2, where they didn't score a bucket off that. You shadow Steph. And without Klay Thompson, even if he plays or a compromised Klay, there's no kickouts. Listen, the Raptors have to win.
But do you think the Raptors can win? That's the question.
Yes, I absolutely do. I already bet the Raptors. I already bet the Raptors.
See, I'm glad. I am so glad to hear that because we had one of our intro lines for the last 2 weeks. We just took it off yesterday saying you have no interest in this finals the way that it was panning out with the Bucks and the Raptors not playing consistent basketball. There was no way they were going to beat the Golden State Warriors. That was before we knew KD was done for the series, even though he may play a couple of games. But you speculated that right away after we knew he was done. Now Klay's banged up. Looney, not that Looney's a big piece, but he was a starter.
He is when some of the other guys aren't there.
Exactly. He's done with a broken collarbone. Iguodala's hobbling around. Klay Thompson's now got a hamstring. And, you know, the way that they play offense, you can't play this Golden State offense with a strained hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't.
I wouldn't play him.
And you certainly can't play defense with a strained hamstring, especially against the guy that they usually task him with guarding, who is Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
So this series it's got intrigue. And I don't know if you saw all this. Did you see all this box and one stuff?
Defense? Well, I just said that, box and one.
So
it's brilliant. I mean, we used to do that in CYO.
Is it brilliant?
I think it's phenomenal.
I remember hearing. I never played basketball.
I got you.
BT knows the story, and if you don't know it, the short story is I didn't make the basketball team when I was in seventh grade.
I always left the coach. He cut the only two black kids on the team,
exactly,
which you and I always joke about.
That's right.
You and Rondé. What are you doing?
So we went and wrestled. And so I like basketball, but I never played it.
Yeah.
So I don't know the core principles of the box at one, which is what you do when you have one star player that you have, like literally one, to use your literally word again, literally one guy you got to stop. We're going to box in one. That's what the Toronto Raptors and Nick Nurse decided to use against the Golden State Warriors. And I keep hearing this like over and over. I'm like, what the heck they mean the box in one? And why doesn't anybody else use this? Because you know what, BT? It worked to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of
the Warriors weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready for it. Klay is obviously the primary, Steph Curry was the primary ball handler at this time. That's who they were boxing and wanting, somebody else. And he didn't score. He didn't score at all.
They didn't score a basket.
I agree.
I think they were 0-for-6. I know they didn't score a basket when they deployed the box and one. I want to say 0-for-6 with at least two turnovers, but certainly no baskets.
Yes.
Whether it was five misses or six, whatever.
You're right.
They did not score a basket.
And the one that they did score was the Andre Iguodala dagger three-pointer at the end, which should have been picked off by Kawhi Leonard.
Correct.
So why don't more teams do this in the NBA?
I'll tell you, listen, I love, this is like old school CYO stuff right here. The first time I ever heard of the box and one, I was in the fifth grade.
Okay.
And my dad was coaching us.
Okay.
And we were playing against a kid who wound up playing Division I basketball from Flatbush, Mullins, my neighborhood, Mullins neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Great, really good player. Jimmy Schaefer. Schaefer, if you're watching, what's up, buddy? You know we bottled you up a little bit. Terrific player.
With the boxing one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Best player in the neighborhood, for sure. Went on to play for Jay Wright at Hofstra before Jay Wright went to Villanova, right? Really good player. And the boxing one, now, it's only going to work. No, well, you've got to have somebody quick enough to hang mm-hmm. with the best player and perceptive enough because you're really just, your face guarding is what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's also a variable called the triangle and two, which is two guys on the best player. You can't do that in the NBA because there's just too many good guys. You can do that in CYO.
Yeah.
And we did that. You'd have a little diamond in the middle of the paint because there's no zone. There's no defensive infractions. And you'd throw two guys at Jimmy Schaefer or this other kid, Andrew Amigo, who played at Lincoln behind Stephon Marbury.
Nice.
These were good guys. My dad could coach. So when I heard the way Nick Nurse introduced it, it's brilliant. And he said, hey, guys, anybody know about the boxing one?
And none of them.
Not one of them knew.
They had no idea. So he had to draw it up.
He drew it up. It shows their aptitude to be able. Now, I don't know how you could be in your 20s, whether it's AAU, whether it's CYO, whether it's, PSAL, CHS. How do these 12 guys, how do they not know the boxing one? And me, the big lump on my couch, sitting there, I can actually draw diagrams.
You know why? You know why?
Why?
Because they grew up playing AAU basketball.
But they still played high school ball.
Yeah, but what was most important to them? It was AAU. And so what do you do in AAU? You know this better than anyone. You just go score.
Yeah.
You're going to play man-to-man.
But not the great high school programs. The great ones. Hurley in St. Anthony's?
Yeah.
If you didn't play defense, you didn't play second.
That's a good point.
I mean, are you kidding me? Some of these schools in Baltimore and Matter Day out west, you're playing defense.
But are those guys...
They're not playing boxing ones, though.
But are those the guys that are in the NBA now?
Well, yeah,
that's the question.
I hear you.
That's the question.
Now listen, now you know that Steve Kerr will have a response for the boxing ones. So they've got it. Now the onus, and this is where it gets brilliant, it's really fun to watch this unravel. Nick Nurse needs to have a layer off of the boxing one, anticipating what Steve Kerr will invariably react to
A great coach. I'll give you, because what I can relate to, I'll give you what the NFL defensive coordinators do.
Okay.
So there's a defense called a bear defense. Everybody's heard of this if you know football at all. It's basically the guard, center, and guard are covered, right? Guard, center, guard are covered. You have a defensive end on the left side. You have a defensive end on the right side, just kind of boxing everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have one of your linebackers come stand over the tight end. So he's just head up on the tight end, right? It's called a bear defense. You have two backers in the well, right? And it's impossible to run the ball against that type of defense because – Your trappers, like the guys who pull and do it, they're all covered.
Okay.
Right? So nobody's free. And so you got to block the guy in front of you. So you can't pull and do any of these things. It limits you what you can do offensively. And so as a defensive coach, you run the bear five times in a game. I'm just going to throw this out there five times. Maybe we'll have success. Maybe we could get, who knows, whatever. But you now force every team that watches that tape to say, oh, man, they play bear?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to prepare for the bear. And so right now, Golden State and Steve Kerr are preparing for the boxing one.
Yep.
Is Nick Nurse going to run that a significant amount of time? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that now the Steve Kerr has to prepare for it.
Takes time away from the other stuff.
It takes time away from all the other stuff. And especially considering that he's got to get all these guys who aren't used to playing heavy minutes, ready to play heavy minutes.
I want to see a Boogie Cousins if his wheels are fresh. He played, almost had a triple-double the other night. DeMarcus Cousins was terrific.
He was.
Does he still have that spring? He was dribbling a lot. I remember saying to my brother-in-law, we were down in Virginia, and I said, man, because a couple times he almost had picked off. To his credit, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was perilously close to him dribbling into traffic. I'm like, why is he handling the basketball 20 feet away?
Well, I think because
they forced him to.
Well, they forced him to, and because of the way that their injury, the lineup, Steve Kerr played 17 different lineup combinations, which is crazy to think about.
What's the absolute max variations for the amount of guys that dress?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
I would love to know that answer, because 17 seems really high.
But he played 13 guys.
Yeah.
And so in some of these sets, Draymond can't be that point forward who gets the rebound, because it's DeMarcus getting the rebound.
Sure.
Right? So DeMarcus gets the rebound. Usually that's Draymond getting that rebound when they're small.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to play big because of Mark Gasol, right? So it's now Boogie or DeMarcus Cousins getting that rebound, and the role of that person is to bring the ball up the court. You see Draymond do it all this time, right?
He gets the rebound
and he's just flying.
Yep.
Now DeMarcus Cousins, who probably has never done this, is trying to bring the ball up the court. So to his credit, you give him even more respect for the game that he had, given he was put in this uncomfortable type situation and played great. He really did. And
he was fantastic.
Without him, they don't win that. They win that game. And I'm not just talking about the offensive stats that you threw out defensively.
Yep.
As well,
he had a bunch of rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
He had some assists, a couple block shots. All right, so the box and one. Wow, it really is a throwback term. And and Nick Nurse spoke about the, I guess basically the components and the different variations, what it actually brings and what it forces the opponent to do. Here's Nick Nurse on that. And you know what, guys? Then go right back to back. Just go Nurse on the components of the box and one, and then Steve Kerr on how it gets him out of rhythm. Go ahead, guys.
We were having trouble getting our defense set up. We were having trouble at the basket a little bit. And we're having trouble with the rhythm of the game there. And usually, you know, you use, like, any zone, so it's a type of zone. You know, that's what you're using zone for a lot. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We played some zone during the regular season, and you usually do it to when the game's funky and there's a bad rhythm, and maybe you can change it, right, just by slowing them down or stopping some of their cutting or whatever. And it seemed to protect the rim better for us and stop some of their cutting. And it was good.
It just changes the rhythm. And so watching the tape, we had open looks that we didn't knock down, but the rhythm changed and the look changed. And so it was very effective. They did a good job with that.
Okay, so they're obviously both head coaches there. Here's the poll question, and it's getting a lot of action already. And you know what? I got to be honest. I'm very encouraged. Not that I'm surprised. I have a lot of respect for the acumen of Tiki and Tierney basketball fans, of course. But the way the poll's going right now is the way that I believe that it honestly should go. Here's the question. Should the Warriors allow Klay Thompson to suit up tonight, risk further injury, or take the prudent route, sit him for game 3, and then unleash him in game 4? 56% of you say sit him. It's too risky.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's closer than I thought it would. It is smart, but it's closer than I thought it would be.
Well, you know what? Because I thought you'd get a lot of fans who would say, well, it's the, or who would think, and then obviously translate this in their vote, it's the finals, put him out there. But it's not game 6. It's game 3.
Yeah, true.
It's game 3.
True, but you could play him and, you know, have some him give some contribution. Even if he gets hurt, it doesn't matter because KD's coming back in game 4.
Well, we think KD's coming back.
That's a great
point.
He
still hasn't had a full practice where he's been clear.
That's a big if.
Listen, Teak, I believe that this is the absolute most dire moment, which makes it incredibly interesting for us as consumers of the sport in the entire Warriors dynasty. I mean, this is a real interesting part of the road. Think about the injuries. Think about the opponent. Think about the variables. Think about the storylines, the historical components, legacy. Tonight is, I know it's, you know, I know, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I know the NBA didn't really want the Raptors. They won't say this, but they were hoping for something sexier. LeBron, ratings are down, whatever. Tonight, if you love basketball, tonight is top shelf stuff. It's going to be awesome. 855-212-4227. What'd you say, Clay? We're going to give you the button. You're in charge. Now, I actually believe they should just take this away, the decision away from Clay. If Clay shows up at Oracle, Clay's going to say, I'm going.
You're
He's
right.
played, what is it, 150 straight playoff games?
You're
is
right.
the stat something wacky?
You're right.
He's going to say, I'm good.
Come
Shoot
out,
me up.
Come
take
out,
me up.
Come out for a minute.
Yeah.
So keep the streak alive.
But here's the thing. Even if he comes out and he coerces the trainers and he prods it, let me, and he plays. And he bangs in a couple of triples. And the Warriors are up by 16. And even if they win, he can do something at the most unexpected moment, a cut, a readjustment, a reshift, stopping on a dime, where you won't see him again until next opening night. I don't think you could run that risk. I really don't. 855-212-4227. Would you play Klay Thompson? And if you don't, who in the world is going to guard Kawhi? Tiki and Tierney, a lot of hoops, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you taking good care of your car? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs, from batteries, belts, and brakes, to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. You need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or directly to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member, and you'll earn points every time you shop, no matter how you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day.
All right, Tiki getting his run on today with my man Felipe Lopez as Tiki hit Central Park out there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Global
today.
Running day. Yeah. Tiki, how'd you do?
I did well, man. I averaged about a 7:45 or so a mile for 3.1 miles, just a 5K. Felipe Lopez was out there running as well for the NBA's Fit Run Club. He had a whole team of guys out there working the NBA office. It was about 2,000 or so runners in Central Park this morning. It was early. I let leave at like 5 a.m.
It started at 7, right?
Started at 7, so I left early. But it's a great cause today. New York Roadrunners, for 20 years, has been offering free youth programs in the New York area. And today was kind of a celebration of the 20th year of New York Roadrunners doing their free events. And it was a one for you. One for youth, shoe day. Mm-hmm. So the shoes that you saw me yesterday,
the black ones?
I actually ended up wearing them. They were okay. Yeah, they were good to run in because they were lightweight. So it was great to run fast in them. One for you, one for youth. So every one of the participants, all 2,000 of them, got a pair of shoes or bought a pair of shoes. Nice. And New York Roadrunners and New Balance gave a pair of shoe to youth in the New York area. So it was cool. Hey, it was fun.
Felipe, it looks like he's hanging on for dear life man.
I got to give Felipe a ton of props because
he's such a good guy.
Great dude.
Yep.
And so after running, he's not a runner, obviously.
No.
Right? He's a former basketball player. They had the worst knees.
He ripped up his knee, and that's how his career pretty much ended.
And basketball players have the worst knees ever.
Yeah.
He ran it, and then he stood there at the finish line and like high-fived people coming across the finish line for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes?
He's a special person.
He was
awesome. Did you see the 30 for 30 at all?
I have not seen it yet.
It's just for the Chronicles. He's a unique spirit. Yeah, yeah. Felipe Lopez is one of the good people. I'm glad he had a good time running, man.
Yeah, he did.
And at least one of us ran today.
I know. He's an NBA Cares ambassador. I think that's what his title is.
Oh,
with
he's
NBA.
With the league office.
So it's great. Great dude. Great people out there. New York Roadrunners always take care of me. So I was great. It was fun for me to be out there for Team for Kids, of which I'm an ambassador.
Attaboy, T. Good job. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com. And at 15 minutes, say 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up next hour, we got A.J. Hinch. Hey, A.J. Hinch.
Hey, you're
going to come back on the show.
See, now they're going to get good.
You know, A.J.
Not that they
Hinch,
haven't been great. Been
terrific. That was kind of our little beef with A.J. When they were slowly ascending, you know, they used to come on all the time.
Right.
Then they became big shots. And A.J. Hinch kind of forgot about Tiki and Tierney. But he's going to join us coming up 1 hour from now. Jonathan Scope as well, the Twins second baseman, formerly of the Orioles. The Twins continue to mash a lot of pops. So we got some baseball next hour, football at the 40s, inbounds, out of bounds next segment. And, you know, listen, I believe that this is the game. I mean, this is the game for the Raptors.
Yeah.
The Raptors, they have to find a way to win this game.
Yeah.
They will not be handed such unique circumstances in terms of having a compromised opponent. I don't think the rest of the series.
This has to be their night. It's an opportunity. It's no different than the game we talked about in 2016 when Draymond gets suspended against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the final. The Cavs found their little window of opportunity and took advantage of it.
Yeah.
Right? Against a great team, as great as this Golden State Warriors team is, if you don't take advantage of these, they ain't coming again. Right? So they have to win tonight because KD might come back
tomorrow.
He's
lurking.
Now, before BT and I were talking about this in the break, the only thing that gives me a little bit of hope for Clay, is how he actually strained his hamstring. It wasn't a contraction pull. So what happens when you have extension, flexion, if you pull your hamstring right then and it knots up and then you extend it again, it like rips apart that muscle. Like it balls up and then it rips apart. He did his by like sliding.
Yeah.
So it kind of was extreme extension, you know what I mean?
So, it's less invasive on the fibers?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's less disruptive to the muscle fibers when it's extended like that and strained as opposed to...
Less shock.
Yes, instead of shock, like when it shocks, it knots up and then like really rips apart.
Yeah.
Those type of pulled hamstrings are what you see in the NFL when these guys who haven't been put on the right loads in the offseason and all of a sudden they get into a... you know, a full contact type or full live type situation, and they strain their hamstring. And then they're done for, I mean, we see it every year. Guys are done for like a month.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, so I hear you.
I don't think this is that.
So okay.
That's the only thing that gives me pause about maybe he could go in game three.
Well, you are a runner, so you would know, and obviously a former football player. You know, the one thing, we all know that these guys, here's my layman's mm-hmm. terminology or interpretation of his injury. We all know that they're superhuman and special.
Yep.
And everybody like me out there that didn't play pro sports like Tiki did, this is how we view it. We know that they're uniquely gifted, mm-hmm. but just the way he was hobbling around, I just find it completely, I don't want to say completely implausible.
I hear you.
Because they're special physical creatures, but man, I just don't expect much from Clay tonight. He could be wrong.
He could walk off the court.
That's what I'm saying.
He basically called timeout in the middle of the court because he couldn't walk off the court.
He was telling his teammates to foul.
Yeah.
Will he get a shot for that?
It depends on how the structure. It's not a pain thing. It's not like I just need to manage my pain.
It's a limitation thing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's a functionality thing,
okay.
not a pain thing. Pain things, he'd get shut up and go play.
Yeah.
That's not what this is, I don't think.
All right. Let's get some calls, see what's up. Greg is in Reno, Nevada, 94.1 FM. Greg, Tiki and Tierney, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
All right. How are you guys feeling?
What's up, good.
Tiki?
I am well. How are you, Greg?
Good, man. I can't complain. Hey, okay, here he goes. DT, you know you're a big Klay Thompson guy, and you're always talking about how he defends the best player on every team. I'm telling you right now. If they don't have Klay tonight, forget about it. Mm. You guys know, if Kawhi gets the steal in game two, mm-hmm. they could lose that game and be down 2-0 very easily now.
True.
The Warriors are reeling.
Hold on, Greg. Let me flip something back at you. You say without Klay Thompson tonight in game three, the Warriors are in trouble. I don't disagree with that assertion. It's very fair. He's their best defender, and Kawhi very well might drop 40-plus on him. Mm-hmm. What I would submit, and this is what you have to weigh, it's an odds thing, okay? It would be more to their detriment to not have Klay Thompson's for game 4, 5, 6, and 7, which is why I can't run the risk of that thing snapping. That's all I'm saying.
Now you go down 2-1 and you lose home court, and you're really
It doesn't struggling. Matter, Greg. They're good enough to win. If they're healthy, they can win on the moon.
Yeah.
Forget about home court. The Warriors are as good a team as I've ever seen. They can win anywhere.
Because we just saw it. They won in Toronto, which is a notoriously hard place to play.
They could win anywhere.
I 100% agree, especially if everybody's healthy, which they haven't been for a while.
Yeah. Rick is in Philly, and Rick has us up. I believe it's the Radio.com app or CBSSportsRadio.com online. Rick, Tiki and Tierney. Go ahead, Rick. What do you got?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Rick,
I disagree. I would play him. At least let him go out on the court and see how he's moving around. If he's straining up and he can't move to it, then pull him. Kerr's smart enough to pull him. But if he's effective somewhat at all, you keep him out there because this is a critical momentum game. You want to take both these games. You don't want to give the Raptors any life because they're not Portland or Houston. They're good enough to steal the series if you give them an opening. So I feel like this is a momentous game. If you can take these two games right here, you pretty much got the series in the bag. So I feel like if Klay can give them anything, he has to because the Raptors' defense has to be able to at least think about a threat of Klay Thompson being out there. Because what they're going to do is they're just going to pack in on Curry and really nobody else can beat them. I mean, Draymond occasionally, but he's more of a garbage guy you know, when Klay and Curry are leaving him open. So I think it's critical to have him out there. And if he can't, I think Kerr will recognize it's time to pull him or keep him in the game. So at least let him try out there the first couple of minutes. And if he's not, just sit in the rest of the game and go with Quinn
Cook. The only other side of that argument, Rick, and I appreciate you calling you, and you're right. I think that's probably what they will do.
Mm-hmm.
But the only other side of that argument, we've said this a couple of times. There's two sides. One is he's a defensive liability now. So what are you doing? You're packing Klay into the paint so he doesn't have to run around? Like he becomes a defensive liability.
Yep.
And then two, this isn't an offense of spot-up shooters. Like, just go stand in a corner like J.J. Redick, and eventually, you know, someone's going to leave you to help, and we're going to kick it over to you, and you're going to knock it down. If they played offense like that, mm-hmm. I'd say it's a good idea to put Klay out there. But that's not how they play.
I don't know that really any – even Redick runs off screens all the time.
True.
I mean, this isn't – I mentioned CYO earlier with my buddy Jimmy Schaefer playing the box in one. That's how I played CYO. Yeah. I would stand in the corner because I couldn't move. I could shoot. You've seen me shoot. You know I could shoot. And I'd wave my hand, and I'd get the ball, and I'd shoot every time.
Yeah,
but I didn't
right.
have to root move. That's fifth grade.
It is a discredit to J.J. Redick because he works his butt off to get open.
Let me tell you. I mean, Reggie Miller, Steph Curry, Ray Allen, J.J. Redick, all varying degrees of greatness. I'm not saying that they're all exactly equal, but just those four names jumped to my mind as shooters. They all were so adept at working off screens. You have to.
You have to in today's NBA.
Now, to be clear, what I think should happen isn't necessarily what I think is going to happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't play him. My prediction isn't necessarily that the Warriors will not play him. I believe they should intercede and not allow Clay and his heart to make the decision, because we know what his heart's going to do. He's going to play. All right, Mike, how is the Twitter question? Which way are we trending here before we get Axe update? What's happening?
Well, just simply we're asking if Clay Thompson should be allowed to play tonight in Game 3 or not. 57% say sit him. It's too risky. 43% say play him.
Okay. All right. Trending towards 60%. Ack, would you sit him? Not what you think they'll do. Would you sit him or would you play him? It's only game three.
I know. I'd play him, though.
You would.
If he's good enough to go, I'd play him. Because you're running. You only have so many games. You have 5 games left in the series, tops. And
which is why I think you need to be more prudent. Because he can look fine. They're in the. Let me ask. This is back.
I don't think you can give give away games at this point.
Fair enough. But how do you fully simulate game speed? That's what I'm saying.
You can't.
Yes, that's what I mean.
You can't at all. It's impossible.
Because
even
what if, I mean,
you know that you're not going game speed.
Yeah.
Even if you are simulating.
Yeah. You have the strength and conditioning coach running at you, who's 6'1" or maybe 5'11".
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, listen, of course Clay's going to look great an hour at Oracle before the game. He's going to be drilling 25 footers. He's going to look like a stud.
You know why? It's because it's instinct that makes you make that sudden movement, right? It's not like, okay, you're running at me. I know I got to shoot now. I'm going to take a quick step and shoot it. It's more like, oh, but here it comes.
And exactly. Really,
you do it without even thinking.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's when you hurt an already strained muscle.
What do they say? And they still say it. You watch golf on CBS, the Golf Channel. What do they say, even though he's crushing the ball and playing well? When Tiger goes in the rough, there's still that uncertainty. Is his foot going to slip? Is there something, you know, God forbid? I mean, really, for any player, hurt your wrist but anything that tweaks the back, that would be an unconventional hit, unlike just pounding it on the range or for us going to, off a mat. You can't simulate that stuff. You know, you just don't know what's underneath those weeds, and you don't know what happens when Kawhi gets the ball and you're backtracking, 30, 40, 50 feet, and suddenly Kawhi darts left, right. You got to shift gears. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck with that. You know, I hope it works for him. I want to see Clay play tonight. I just wouldn't play him. All right.
Okay, Tom Dance, the pros here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one for you. So make us think, and pretty good chance we circle back to it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, back here. First hour, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, the poll question before we get to inbounds, out of bounds here. Pertaining to Klay Thompson and the decision the Warriors are staring at, whether or not they should let him suit up tonight, risk further injury, or maybe, take the cautious route and sit him for game three and then let him go loose the rest of the way, however many games they play. And right now, 59% of you, it creeps a little more towards 60, sit him, too risky. 41% say, let him go, let him play. We'll obviously follow this throughout the show. Give us a vote on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, individually at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Inbounds, out of bounds. You ready?
I am.
Okay, let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, I think we have a couple of good ones here. Let's get into it. Former first overall pick back in the day. Was that 05, 06? Mm-hmm. Alex Smith at Utah. That's crazy, right?
Did you ever see him play in college? Ever?
Yeah, he played in the, what bowl was it? Not the Orange Bowl. A couple times. Yeah. You got to remember. Your partner likes to.
No, that's true. That's a good
some
point.
Money to be made in those
I gotta
late
games.
I got
to tell you, BT, when he was drafted, I had no idea who he was. I remember this. Like,
you're also immersed in your own career.
True. I was near the course to the end where I was in media.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's like, Who the? Huh? Number one overall?
What? Urban Meyer? That's crazy.
There it is.
All right, so
that'll tell you all you need to know.
I know. Former Ute first overall suffered the gruesome leg injury last season. But, you know, many thought that would end his career. I've never seen him at a Wizards game, you know, during this season, and he was in the suite, and he still had his leg in some sort of medical apparatus. But signs are actually a little encouraging here. Head coach Jay Gruden had some good news for reporters yesterday with the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is, you know, he's recovering nicely. He's slowly but surely. It's going to be a little bit of time, but, you know, as soon as he's able to, he'll push it and get himself ready. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be a pretty lengthy process for the most part, but once he's able to go, he'll recover a lot quicker than people anticipate, I'm sure.
Okay, obviously pointing to a great work ethic and a great will. He's a competitor. You got to have a lot of respect for Alex.
We always knew that.
Yep, no doubt. Otherwise, he would have been out of the league. The way his career started, he would have folded, and he persevered. So the Redskins now, we know they selected Dwayne Haskins with their first overall pick. Here's the question. The Alex Smith will start in the NFL again. Now, before you answer that, Mike, do you mean start a single game, or do you mean actually be a starter for, you know, a chunk for a team?
Like the opening season starting.
A single game.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds to that.
A single game. Go ahead.
Because it's either going to happen because of injuries whenever he comes back to Washington. Now, he's 35 years old, yep. So he's getting up there a little bit. But some of these sage vets, not all vets, but the sage vets, and I would consider him one of those.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what it takes. And he's still physically very fit, other than the obvious right now.
Yep.
I think someone will give him a shot as a backup role, which ultimately will lead to a start at some point. And you never know. If one of these teams misses and completely whiffs on these young quarterbacks that they're taking in 2 years, would you be surprised if Alex Smith is your fill-in starter until the new guy comes up?
Nope.
Not at all.
I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick took first-team reps with Miami
exactly
this morning.
Right.
I mean,
exactly
so
right.
My answer is same as yours, inbounds here. You know, listen, he is 35, as Tiki said, but you know, despite a gruesome leg injury, this is going to sound like a contradiction, he's a young 35. He's spry, he's bouncy, he looks young.
Right.
Now, he also missed all of 2008. He hurt a shoulder that year, a couple of years in early with the Niners. So he had a chance to, you know, really put his body on ice and avoid taking hits for a bad team. They weren't good yet at that point. Listen, the bottom line with somebody like Alex Smith is this. He's 30 games over .500 winning percentage in his career. And that's skewed heavily from some bad seasons early with some inept Niner teams, or at least poorly run Niner teams. He's efficient, he's smart, and he's low maintenance, and there's always a market for that. Inbounds for me as well.
Are you in or are you out?
By the way, that game you were thinking of was the Fiesta Bowl.
Ah.
Utah beat Pitt.
That's right.
They finished the season.
12-0, right?
12-0.
Well, it was the Fiesta. I knew it wasn't the orange.
Yeah.
Fiesta. All right, there you go. So the Phillies, a little baseball here, snapped a 6-game losing streak. They won 9-6 over the Padres. However, some bad news as former NL MVP Andrew McCutchen. This is a really bad break. Tore his ACL, suffered Monday night. He's going to miss the rest of the season. He was hitting pretty well. I believe he hit a home run on opening day, and really since then, he's been pretty, maybe his first at bat. He's been pretty good. 10 home runs and a little more than 200 at bats. His OPS is a healthy 835 before going down. So they added Jay Bruce in a trade on Sunday, and Bruce had a good debut with the Phillies. Bruce is a professional hitter. In or out, the Phillies do need to make another move and add another outfielder to replace McCutchen.
I'm going to say out of bounds. They added Jay Bruce, as you mentioned here, BT, but they also brought my Wahoo, my boy, even though I don't know him at all. Adam Haseley, who's one of their top prospects. He's young.
They called him up?
23 years old. They called him up. I think he started two games ago or a game ago. The last game he started. And so he's going to, he could be their answer right here. So they might not need to go out and find somebody. If that should be proven the case, they still have plenty of time. So right now I'm saying out of bounds.
I totally agree. Out of bounds. If anything, you know, you better do something with that bullpen.
Yeah.
There's other more pressing needs for sure. Yeah, and by the way, just as an aside, I mean, I feel so badly for McCutchen.
I do too.
And listen, he's made a ton of money, so I don't mean that. But
he finished second in the MVP a couple years, four or five years ago.
Then he won one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did win one.
He finished second or third another.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen, I believe, was really important for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was right in the middle of the Renaissance in a great baseball city, which had been dead for 2+ decades, the Pirates. And as an African-American, when, you know, there was a relative dearth of African-American stars in the game, Andrew McCutchen represented a lot. So I just want to make sure I said that. I always had a lot of respect for him, man. Came to the Yankees a little bit for us last year. He got on base. You know, he didn't hit tremendously, but his on-base percentage was through the roof because he's just a pro. Now, specific to the question, my answer is out of bounds because we alluded to that. Jay Bruce, and Jay Bruce is going to hit, always hits. And you'd have to think that Bryce Harper eventually is going to have a month where he goes, you know, 315, 320-ish with, I don't know, 11, 12, 13 bombs and an OPS over 1,000, which would kind of mitigate somewhat the absence of McCutchen. Out of bounds, but a real bad break. A good guy.
Are you in or are you out?
I mentioned the Yankees before. Their outfield, one of them now, Clint Frazier, getting a lot of run because Judge is banged up. I mean, think of it. Aaron Judge has been out.
I know.
Stan's been out. And I know the Yankees lost last night, but I mean, they're still playing crisp baseball. Took 2 out of 3 for the Red Sox. Yanks are fine. But Clint Frazier, Clint Frazier is one of the worst outfielders I've seen in a long time. I don't know how you can be that hyped as a prospect. I know it's his bat driving it. And be that not like average. He is utterly inept chasing balls in the outfield. He's horrendous. And he compounded this. He made 3 mistakes against the Red Sox the other night, but also refused to speak with the New York media. You know this. You played here. That ain't going to fly.
No.
Grow up, young man. Yesterday, Frazier finally did face the music before the Yankees played Toronto, up in Toronto, but didn't exactly endear himself to the media, saying, quote, here's his quote. Nope, I don't regret it. I don't think I owe anybody an explanation. Since I got traded here, it's been some stories that shouldn't have come out. I don't feel like it's been fair at times, and I don't owe an apology for not talking. End quote. During the game, we know he could hit. He blasted a 415-foot bomb, and he looked up at the media section. Bobby Bonilla did this back in the day when somebody gave an error with the Mets, and that didn't work out well. While rounding the bases, this is just a petulant move. I love his energy, but he's got to harness it. In or out? Frazier's reasons for ducking the media was inbounds or out of bounds.
Now, I don't agree, but his reasons for ducking, how this is written, are inbounds. He didn't want to talk to them. He felt like he was being treated unfairly. His reasonings are right. So inbounds, the problem is you just don't do that. You can get away with it in a smaller market. In New York, they're now waiting for a reason to kill him.
Yep.
Just waiting. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be benign.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to play the game in New York.
Yeah.
He should, because he's not a young pup. But still, inbounds for his reasoning, but you can't do that.
Yeah, he's not 21. He's 24. You know, you get to that point, you pretty much are who you are personality-wise. And the Yankees are loaded. You know, now CeCe's a pitcher. I don't know if it would really be on him. But somebody, and you know, I don't even know who it would be. Didi's hurt right now. Voit's, you know, hasn't been there too long. Sanchez, you know, I'm not trying to be flippant, doesn't speak great English.
Yeah.
You know, Judge is hurt. Stanton's out. I mean, Gardner's got Brett, although they're kind of playing for the same position, which is odd.
Sure.
But Gardner's a good enough guy and a good enough pro. Put his arm around this young man and tell him to get with the program. Otherwise, he's going to sabotage himself.
Yeah.
Because he hits the hell out of it. And he's going to butcher the balls in the outfield again, and it's going to compound it and make his life worse. You never win. The journalists always get the final push of the key of the button on the laptop. You're never going to win. Just grow up, man. Grow up a little bit. It's that's grow up, mature, out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Kyrie, back to hoops. Going to be an unrestricted free agent, Kyrie Irving, this summer, as we know. And many have speculated that he's going to join the Knicks or the Lakers. However, Stephen A. Smith, he's nuts. He put the video out last night. I guess it's kind of a report yesterday that he's heard Kyrie's planning to sign with the Nets. I don't know if it's an ironclad report. It was more strong innuendo. Brooklyn, by the way, already has a young point guard, D'Angelo Russell, they acquired from the Lakers, former second overall pick back in the day. And he's a restricted free agent this year. And the Athletic Shams, how do you say, Sharania? I know he's great. Sharania, is that how you say his name? Reports that a market is forming for Russell. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Nets should match any offer for Russell, even if they sign Kyrie.
I'm going to say inbounds at this, BT, because D'Angelo Russell is turning into a really good player. He's not great yet, and he's still got some things to work on in his game, but he's still really young. And if you really want to build something there, you got to keep guys like this. Who the team loves, locker room loves, I mean, and the fans have grown to embrace
him. They love his energy.
Despite the nonsense that, you know, we all kind of vilified him from.
Like a pinch with weed
afar.
At the airport the other day.
Exactly. Whatever.
I mean, I hear you.
It's not a crime.
Have one of your buddies do it.
In the NBA.
That's what they're there for.
It's just stupid to try to get past TSA. Sorry, dude.
Have your buddy do it. If he gets pinched, whatever.
You're right.
You pay him off. That's how they do it.
I agree. So inbounds.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little uncomfortable with the word, you know, the way it's worded. Any offer?
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody offers him a max deal, I mean, that's a little bit hard to swallow. But nobody's going to offer him that. He's going to get paid, and he should. He's 6'5". He's bouncy. He's got range. His efficiency is spiking. I believe that Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell could coexist in the same backcourt. I don't know if Kyrie is going to actually sign there, but... Yeah, he fits what the Nets are doing. He's got the energy, and he's been a big part of their renaissance. So I agree. I'm going to stay inbounds on this.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. If you ask the average person on the street, even an average baseball fan, hey, who's got the best record in the American League? You get a couple of blank stares, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Astros, maybe the Rays. It's the Twins, their hard-hitting second baseman. Joins us next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.